Good evening. It's good to be with you all. As Eric mentioned, the name Maundy Thursday comes from the Latin word mandatum for new commandment. In this intimate evening that Jesus has with his disciples, the final evening they have together before he goes to die, he gives them this command. He gives them their job after he goes away, to love one another as he has loved them. This command, I've reflected on a little bit this week. It's so simple and yet so deep. D.A. Carson says that it's simple enough for a toddler to memorize and appreciate, and profound enough for the most mature believers to repeatedly be embarrassed at how poorly they comprehend it and put it into practice. So with this incredible depth and richness of this command, we know that we can't keep it. We may all feel that in this moment right now. We're selfish and self-centered. We're impatient. We're prone to wander. We're incapable of living this out on our own. But I don't want us to miss the grace in this command tonight. I don't want us to miss that. It's in the words, "Just as I have loved you, just as I have loved you." Tonight I'm just going to dwell briefly on the love as seen in the upper room discourse, and Eric already spoke briefly about it, but I want us to see tonight that Jesus' command to love comes out of his love for us. It comes out of his own love for us. It arises from it. It flows from it. His love is both the standard and the source for the life of love that he calls us to. So his love influences ours. It flows to the other. I actually don't think that we should look at it differently. I don't think that we can or should isolate our love from his. But let me pray before we continue. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the incredible words of comfort and truth and life that we've already read. Lord, I pray for you to be with me, be with all of us as we continue to ponder this, the truths that you shared with your disciples, Lord Jesus, in the night before you were betrayed. Lord, I pray for you to show us your love more and more. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So you may ask the question, what's new about the new commandment? What's new about the new commandment? The Old Testament calls us to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind, to love our neighbors, ourselves. Jesus talks about, he talks about the Old Testament commands. He says, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He says, he echoes the old commandment, or the great commandment from Deuteronomy 6, when he's speaking in Matthew 22 and elsewhere in the Gospels. But I want us to see tonight how Jesus' love points to what is new. Jesus' love points us to what is new. We read John 13, verse 1 in our first reading. And John 13, verse 1 really acts as an introduction to the whole second half of John. It's often called the Book of Glory. The first half is John 1 through 12 is called the Book of Signs. Second half is the Book of Glory. And so really, this verse introduces everything that's to come in the rest of the book. I'll read it again. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. In the end of John chapter 12, Jesus says he has come from the Father to reveal what the Father has given to them, to him, to reveal, to call people out of darkness and into light to himself. He has loved his own who were in the world. That's what we see in this intimate evening. He's with people who have been brought together in and through his love. And he loves them to the end. That's what John says. He loves them to the end. This final phrase is important. The end that is in view here is the end of Jesus' life on the cross. Jesus loves them until this end. What Jesus goes on to do and teach in this evening, in the following, in the next chapters, it points to the culmination of his and the Father's love on the cross. So he washes their feet. He's their Lord and teacher. No respectable person would want to do this in that day. Everyone's feet were dirty. But he's their Lord and teacher, and he washes their feet. This is this amazing example of service and humility. That's what he says. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also do as I have done to you. But it's also a picture of the cleansing that he's going to bring at the cross, on the cross, the cleansing. He cleanses his disciples, and it's pointing to the cleansing and the washing that he's going to provide through dying on the cross. So Jesus both gives an example and a sign of the cleansing to come. Really, Jesus is what is new about the new commandment. He's the standard of self-giving love. He not only serves them, but he gives himself for them. He says later in John 15, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Lay down his life for his friends. That's who Jesus is. That's what he does. Jesus is also our source. So I said he's our standard, that he's what's new about the new commandment, but he's also our source for love. In John 15, Eric mentioned this, that abiding in God, abiding in Jesus and his love, abiding in the Father's love. Jesus calls his disciples and us to abide in this love, to abide in this and to live it out. He redeems us and brings us into this renewed relationship through his death on the cross. And because of this, we abide in his love. Abiding in his love means living as grateful recipients of his love to us. So we're receiving it and we're thankful and we respond in love to him and dependence to him. That's dependence upon him for strength every day. So through abiding in his love to us shown on the cross, his love takes root in our hearts and we become people who show his love to the world. We're conduits of his love to others, to those who are around us, to each other. In this, we're not just being conduits of God's love, but we're also mirroring Jesus' relationship with his Father. That's John 15:10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I do with the Father. So that's, if we follow his commands to love as he loved us, we're abiding in his love and we're mirroring his relationship. The Trinity throughout Scripture and especially in John give and receive love and honor in enacting God's plan. It's actually really beautiful if you look for it. Some theologians call this perichoresis, or the dance of the Trinity. And what I'm trying to say here is that through Jesus' love and in his love, we are actually invited and brought into that dance. We're brought into that dance. This brings us, both us and the Father, joy. Jesus said, this is John 15. He says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It's joy in him, through him. He says later in verse 16 of chapter 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So I hope we see that our bearing fruit arises from his choosing and his love to us. Now, think about how often in your heart of hearts you're aiming to love, to follow Jesus' great command, to love one another as I have loved you. Think about it. I know for me, when I put my head down on the pillow at night, if I really think about my actions throughout the day, many of them are focused on what I want, not on loving others as Jesus has loved me. And this can discourage us. It can lead us to the point of despair, but it doesn't need to. We can and should grieve our sin, and that is the exact place where we need to see Jesus loving us to the end. So the place where we are grieving our sin, are seeing our need for him, he loves us to the end. That's the exact place. He goes to the cross for us because our hearts are far from him, because our hearts are wicked, because we need him to save us, because we are self-centered, and because of his and the Father's love for us. That's why he does it. He does it to do that for us. Seeing him loving us to the end for all of our sin, it's hard to comprehend, all of our sin. But he does it. It leads us to live out of the love that Jesus embodies here. Seeing that we're recipients of his humble, self-giving love when we didn't deserve it cultivates gratitude and love. And I don't actually think it's just our love. I think it's his love. Seeing his love for us cultivates his love in us. That's what happens. He does it in us. Tertullian, in the second century, he wrote that pagans marveled at the love in Christian that they saw in the fellowship that Christians had. He said, see how they love one another, how they are even ready to die for one another. We don't think in those terms, but that kind of love should actually be the case for us today. It should typify our interactions as God's people. Jesus is talking to the disciples, people brought together in his love, and that's us too. That should be the way that we live in the body of Christ, and then it flows out to everyone else. It's not just sentimental love or sentimental feelings. That's not the love that Jesus is talking about here. It means sacrificing ourselves and our agendas daily for the sake of one another. And we do all of this because he loved us and gave himself for us. That's the point. It's nothing that we do in our own strength. It's out of response to what he did for us. I say all of this knowing that I have lots of room to grow in this. But I do know that the more that we see his love for us, the more we'll grow in this. The more that he will shepherd us faithfully in this. The more we abide in him, we'll grow in this. This evening, this week, it's an incredible example of God's love to us. So let's delight in this his love to us this evening, this week, this weekend, and beyond. Jesus Christ loves us to the end. He loves each and every one of you to the end. He does this to bring himself and the Father glory and to bear fruit in us and through us for his kingdom. He does this promising that he's going to come back. We read that earlier. But I want to read a couple of verses out of John 14 as I finish, because we can doubt. We can doubt this, and we need to hear these words. They need to sink in, Jesus' words to us. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. It's all because of his love. Let's see his love to the end for us. Amen? And pray with me. Lord Jesus, we hear this promise that you say that we are in you. And Lord, what a blessing this is. Lord Jesus, you actually prayed for this on the night that we are reflecting on tonight. And you've brought this about through your grace, through your power. Lord, I pray for you to satisfy us every morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. And all of this in you, our faithful Savior who loves us and gives himself for us. Lord, I pray for you to do this in all of our hearts this week and this entire year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.